don't call each other speakers here. But I think we're more like talkers because we're really just talking from our hearts, aren't we? And our talker from her heart tonight is somebody you already love. Although she did look very much like a witch last week. Yolanda.
Thank you.
Yeah, hi, I'm Yolanda, and I'm really happy to be here, and I'm happy that you all showed up, because I'm the one that's going to be speaking tonight and sharing some of my thoughts. Somebody asked me earlier, how do you feel about getting in front of everybody and sharing some thoughts? And I said, well, you know, I get a little scared and I get a little nervous. And they told me that for the same emotion that you have to be scared and nervous is the same emotion to be excited and fun. And I can surely tell you right now, I'm so excited. And I sure have fun. So I just want to share a little bit about who I am, because a lot of people see me, and how did I come to know my own spirituality? And how is it that we can all be spiritual beings, and why are we spiritual beings? Well, let me just say that I am a native of San Diego, California, and I was born on the 4th of July. Somewhere along the line, I guess the angels decided and agreed with it, and I came in with a bang. Here I am. So the very first time I really experienced any kind of spiritual experience that I can recall vividly, I was 7 years old. And there was a few of us, a couple of brothers, three cousins, and two little neighbors. And we were in this old wooden garage. And we were going to play teacher. And we were going to teach each other what we thought was needed teaching. And the oldest got up, and she was 8, and we were from 8 to 4, and then it got to be my turn. And I'm 7 years old, and I stand in front of these little kids, and I tell them, I want to talk about Jesus. And they were so cute, their little backs straightened up, and their postures got ready. And I said, Jesus loves little sheep a lot. But what he loves more than little sheep are little kids. And guess what? We're little kids. So Jesus loves us more than anything in the whole wide world. And at that moment, I felt such an energy. And there was a light because the ground was dirt and I could see my shadow, and there was this light that came all about me, and I was enveloped in spirit. And the children, they were so cute, their little faces all lit up and they looked with amazement, but they weren't like surprised, like adults would be surprised. They were just amazed. And I remembered that so vividly to this day. You know, time passes, and I begin to forget what it's all about. So I start this quest to get that back. So I ask my mom, Mom, can I go to church? And she says, yes. And in those days, little kids could walk the streets, go to school, go to church, trick-or-treat. You know, there wasn't any real danger. So I started out with the Catholic Church. And then I went to the Baptist Church. And then I kept growing up, and I went to the Lutheran Church. And then I went to Be a Nazarene, and they had real good campouts, and that was fun. Then as an adult, I became one of Jehovah's Witnesses. But I wasn't really being fulfilled, but I thought if I did everything I was asked, I would get that back. I never thought that I always had it. I was seeking it on the outside of me. So I stood on the street corners like all good little JWs with my watchtower and awake, and I went around waking you up on Saturday mornings and, you know, barking dogs, all this stuff. I went through it and started Bible studies, and I did get a lot of knowledge out of reading the Bible and the Bible stories. Then I got to a part where they allowed me to speak from the podium and give my interpretation of what I had read. At 29 years old, I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. I had a tremendous house fire. Everything burned. And it was the strangest thing, fire. You know, we just had those big old fires. I know what it is to lose it all, as people have said. From that point, I thought I was being punished. I was born under a bad sign. God didn't love me. My house burned down, you know, and everything I ever loved was in that house. And I became a chronic drinker. I had read in a book that if you drank enough, surely it will kill you. So I started to romance suicide at one drink at a time. I became a two-fisted drinker. I really got off of my spiritual path. But that allowed me for that time being, because my life was so resistant, to go with the flow for a little bit. And then one day, years later, an elder man approached me who had known me for a long time and said, "Yolanda, what are you doing? You have to get back on your path. You're hurting yourself and others." So I sought help, and I got it, but not after a lot of prayer, because you see, I was real scared, not excited and fun, but scared and devastated and depleted of soul and not knowing what spirit was. And I started seeing things that weren't there and hearing voices that weren't really saying nice things to me. But I took the chance, and I knew that it made sense that I had to sober up, even if it was for a little while. So I sought help, and I got it. And I asked God, "Please, please, please, oh Heavenly Father, if you are there, allow me to be sober enough to finish my quest, to find that spiritual self within me." 4 years into sobriety, someone invited me to come to the Wednesday night forum. That was kind of weird, okay. I showed up, and Reverend Millie, our Mother Millie here, was at the door, and she was greeting everyone, and she held my hand and was very comforting to me. And I came in, I sat down, and eventually the message bearers came up, and they started to give their messages. And I got a message from that little old man that had helped steer me to my spiritual direction. And I began to cry and cry and cry, because the things that I had heard could only come through a spiritual divine design. That these things were not being made up, and evidently someone, this little old man, was talking to, was giving me the message. It started to pique my interest. I got here in the forum in the summer of 1987. And I started coming, and then I'd hit and miss, and I'd come, and I'd hit and miss. And in 1991, I really adapted myself and committed myself to Reverend Millie's classes. And that was a real experience. If you really want to know what it is to find your spiritual being, because we all are born spiritual beings. But for me, my human side was getting in the way of my spiritual side. There was like this war going on or something. And I joined the classes, and I started to experience what it was like, what my spirituality was all about, that this Heavenly Father is omnipresent in everything and everyone, all over, in the air, in the leaf, in the food, everywhere and everything. And that love was forgiving and kind and unconditional, with patience and with tolerance. And that these practices are the fruitages of the Spirit, and that positive thoughts cancel out negative thoughts. Because if we were to allow, if the loving God was to allow negativity, then we wouldn't be sitting here today. We continue to thrive, the world continues to be, and we continue to gather. And like minds gather together, for energy attracts energy, like water reaches its own level. It was really, really an exciting thing. That was when I joined in 91. In 1996, I had a real bad accident. I was working in a lovely bridal store. I just loved that business. Talk about love. That's the height of love right there. They come in all loving. They want to get married. I don't care if they lack in love. That's their business. But, you know, I'm there in the beginning. It was so cool. I burned my face. I had an accident. And I burned half of my whole face and down my neck and some of my shoulder. That was pretty bad. When I burned it, I knew that my life was about to change, but I didn't know how. I ran to the bathroom and I got some clean washcloths and I soaked them up with cold water, and I looked in the mirror and I went like this, and I erased my face. It all came out in the washcloth. It was the weirdest thing. And then I made a phone call, and they said, you have to go to the hospital. So instead of calling 911 and going in an ambulance, I took myself behind the wheel, all kind of like this, trying to drive. And I get to the hospital, and they see me, and immediately they put me on a gurney, and they take me in right now, and they scold me for not coming in an ambulance while I was laying there. Now, I've had some knowledge now in Millie's classes, and I'm laying there, and it's real painful, and it hurts a whole lot, and I don't know what's going to happen to me now. They put patches on my eyes, and I'm laying there, and I'm in a lot of pain, and I begin to pray again, a lot, and deep. Have you ever noticed when you're sick, that's when you really call out? Sometimes we need those kind of contrasts to keep us connected, to keep us reminded. I certainly did. And I was calling out in my quiet being, covered up, stinging, hurting, and I felt a hand come and take my hand to comfort me. And at first, it felt like that little spiritual advisor that I had. I had held his hand many times. And then it changed. Now I'm holding the hand of Jesus Christ. Man, there was no pain. There was no suffering. There was no longing. There was just peace and comfort, and it felt so nice, and time didn't mean anything. And I was in the right place, and whatever was about to happen was going to be okay. Then one of the patches fell off, and no one was there that I know. I know that's when the knowing really began. That you know that you know. I moved from the quadrum. It was a quantum leap from this quadrum of just believing, and seeking and wondering and reading and going that religion, this religion, and spinning circles to actually knowing. What a comfort that is. After the patch fell off, they decided they better send me to the burn center. So I went to the burn center by ambulance. In the burn center, I still hadn't seen my face. I still hadn't, they hadn't showed me a mirror. I still didn't know what kind of damage I had done. And in the burn center, this person was looking at me and that person was looking at me, and then they started taking pictures. Now, you know, I always wanted to be a movie star. But those kind of photos I didn't really expect. And they're just taking photos and photos, and they're flashing and flashing, and I have to sign this paper and that paper with one eye. They kept me there, and the next day I got to look in the mirror. Oh, brothers. They were really thinking that I needed plastic surgery. I had second and third degree burns. And you could see the bone in here. And I looked in the mirror for the first time and I went, oh, my mom's not going to like this. Was all bloody and meaty looking, you know, it's really ugly, and I had to go back every single day, and they had to scrape me. If anybody ever been burned, you know what I'm talking about. They take like a stainless steel brush, and they start brushing the skin. My mouth began to web together like spider webs. Every time I tried to open it, there was like spider webs there. And they brushed and brushed, and oh, that was painful. They wouldn't give me anything for the pain. So this day I'm sitting on the gurney, and it was time to do that scraping again. And I prayed, please don't let them do that to me again today. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the congregation, is praying for my healing. They're actually praying for my healing. And I'm praying, don't scrape me. So while I'm sitting there, I look over to my left and I see one of the bottles, it was a plastic bottle, moving across the stainless steel counter. And it was like, wow. You know, one, my prayers are being heard. Two, I'm losing my mind. I started making excuses. Maybe there was dampness there or moisture. We had one of those famous earthquakes in California. I just didn't feel it. The counter did. But it really did move. And my prayers were answered. The doctor came in and I didn't have to be scraped that time. And that was really good. And that was in 1996. This is the first time I get to talk here tonight in a good long while. My spirituality has been growing in leaps and bounds. I'm really happy to say that I'm still part of Millie's class. You know, you never graduate that class. So from 1991 to 2007, go figure, I'm still a student. At the same token, being a student, I'm also a teacher, and we all are. We're teachers by example. We're teachers through our God's story, through your own awareness. Somehow mankind has found it to call God's stories phenomena. In the old days, they used to call God's stories miracles. Miracles still exist. They're not phenomena. They're specially put designed together for you. Your special gift is how you see the world. You see it just a little tweak that way, and that's the gift. I used to think that was the weirdness, but it's not, it's the gift. And that feeling that I had when I was 7 years old, that glow and that revelation and that envelope of love and forgiveness and all the good stuff, I found again. But it took me a long time. I just became a member of the church after 20 years of showing up. I was not about to make another mistake. And since I became a member, even though I was dedicated and my heart was full, when I publicly did that before everyone in that congregation that day on Father's Day 2007, it was like the skies opened up for me. Things that I just thought were only dreams started to come true for me. My entombment became clearer. The messages on the platform became ever so vivid. I got to go to Alaska with the church, and I had a spiritual experience while I was out there. Me and my roomie got to see this floating across the water, and it never touched the water. It was like the ancestors had come, the natives had come to welcome us. She doesn't speak about it, and I wasn't sure if I would say it. Welcome to the newcomers. We really do talk differently here, but if you run it through your gut self, you'll know it's only natural. We've all had childhood experiences that we keep inside or keep quiet because we're afraid that someone won't understand it. Or we've had adult experiences that are really miracles and they're spiritually bound that we don't talk about because we think we're odd or different or weird or unacceptable. These are your gifts. These are your God stories. Not by accident that I was born on the 4th of July. And it's not by accident that I stand here today. It's not anything was ever by accident in my life. And I am so utterly grateful for everything that I've ever done, good, bad, or indifferent, that has taken its course to lead me to this very place right now, here and now, this very moment. And all the people that I have loved and loved me, that I have met and shook hands and hugged all along the way. Even all the horrible knockdown, roll-around fights that I used to have as a drunken female. I am so grateful to stand before you as a spiritual person, knowing and confirmed that I am one of God's kids, and we all are. And as it was said when I was 7, God loves the little kids more than anything in the whole wide world. God bless you. Thank you very kindly.